Yes, she said. You're a werewolf. And you, she said, are a wizard, and we have no more time. She crouched a bit lower, staring past me. I looked in that direction and saw Denton and his cronies exiting the townhouse, engaged in an animated discussion. Your friend, she said, the police detective, is close to finding my fiancé. Do you really want her to be the one to face him? Is she prepared to deal with what she will find, or will she die, as the others did? Damn it. The bitch, no pun intended, was right. I was the one who was capable of actually doing something about McFinn. If Murphy was the one to catch up to him first, people would get killed. She was a fantastic cop, and was becoming more adept at dealing with the supernatural, but she wasn't able to handle a major werewolf berserker. I turned back to Tara. If I go with you, you'll take me to McFinn. She stopped in the midst of turning to leave. When I can, at dawn, if you think you can create a circle, hold him in when the moon rises, if you can help him. I nodded once. My decision was made. I can. I will. She, who is called Kim Delaney, said the same thing, Tara West said, and spun on her heels to head away from me, crouching low to the ground. I rolled out of the back seat and followed Tara West out to the shrubberies and garden shadows around the building, away from the police cars and lights. Someone shouted in surprise, somewhere behind me. Then there was a cry of, "Stop!" I just stood and ran as fast as I could to get out of the lights and the line of sight of any possible shooters. Apparently, the one shout was all the warning I was going to get. Gunfire erupted behind me as I ran. Bullets tore up the dirt next to my feet. I think I started screaming without slowing down, hunching my shoulders and ducking my head as best I could. I was maybe 5 feet away from the sheltering shadows behind the hedges when something slammed into my shoulder and threw me through the hedge and out the other side. I landed on a roll and stumbled halfway back to my feet. There was a second of screaming, confused input from my shoulder, as though my joints would suddenly hear a welter of sound, feel a broad variety of sensation and texture beneath my skin, and my shoulder went numb entirely, and my vision started spinning. I reached out a hand to support myself as I started to fall, and remember that my wrists were still cuffed behind me. I went into the turf, felt the grass against my cheek. "He's down, he's down," came a cold female voice. "Agent Benz," I thought. "Take him." There was no warning of presence, just the feeling of someone jerking me up to my feet by my duster. I felt Tara's hand slide beneath my jacket, then vanish as she pressed it to the numbed area of my arm. "You're not bleeding badly," Tara said, her voice calm. "You were shot in the shoulder, not the leg. Run or die." Then she turned and started making her way through the hedges. Some encouragement, but I had a hunch that I'd be feeling a lot worse a few minutes from now. So I swallowed the sickly taste of fear and loped after Tara West as best I could. We started a game of shadow hide and seek in the little garden, Tara and me, against the agents behind us. She moved like a wraith, in utter silence, smooth and steady in the black shadows and silver light of the moon overhead. She immediately cut into the hedges, taking lefts and rights every few paces. She did not slow down for me, and I was somehow very certain that McFinn's fiancé would not stop and wait for me should I fall. I did, for a while. It wasn't even too hard. I felt a little out of breath, a little hampered by the handcuffs, but other than that, it was almost as though I hadn't been shot, aside from the trickling warmth I could feel sliding down my ribs and over my belly. Endorphins, what a rush. Our pursuers plunged into the maze of hedges and shrubs and statuary, but my guide seemed to have an uncanny knack for avoiding them. She kept to the darkest parts of the garden as we went, checking behind her to make sure I was keeping pace. I wasn't sure how much time passed that way, ghosting through the darkness while our pursuers struggled to coordinate their efforts and remain quiet at the same time, but it couldn't have been long. I read somewhere that the initial shock of gunshot injuries always wears off after a few moments. Besides, I was out of shape. I couldn't keep up with Tara West for long. She was that fast, that good. My shoulder began to pound double time to my laboring heart as we emerged from the last of the hedges to the street outside. and the 8-foot wrought iron fence that surrounded the property. I slid to a halt and stumbled against the fence, wheezing. Tara looked over her shoulder, her amber eyes bright beneath the moon. She was breathing through her nose, silently, the crouched run having not tired her in the least, it seemed. "I can't climb the fence," I said. The pain from my shoulder was starting to become very real now. It felt like a runner's cramp, only higher up. "There's no way, not with my hands cuffed." Tara nodded once. "I will lift you," she said. I stared at her through a growing haze of pain, then sighed. "You'd better hurry then," I said. "I'm about to pass out." She took the words in stride and said, "Lean against the fence. Keep your body stiff." Then she seized my ankles. I did my best to follow her instructions, and she heaved, straining with effort. For a second, nothing happened. And then she started, very slowly, to move me up, my good shoulder against the fence. She kept pressing my ankles higher until I bent forward at the waist, scrabbled with my legs for a second, and then tumbled gracelessly to the ground at the far side of the fence. I hit the ground, and as I did, a nuclear weapon went off in my shoulder, white fire, blinding heat. I sucked in a breath and tried not to scream, but some sound must have escaped. There was a shout from somewhere behind me and the sound of voices converging on our position. Tara grimaced and turned her face to the oncoming voices. "Hurry up," I gasped. "Climb it and let's go." She shook her head, a stirring of dark hair. "No time. They are here." I gritted my teeth until they creaked and I got my feet underneath me. She was right. The oncoming voices were close. Someone, Ben again, I thought, shouted out orders not to move. If Tara tried to clamber over the fence now, she was a perfect target at the top. The pursuers were too close. Tara didn't stand much chance of escaping, and if she didn't, I wouldn't make it far. I'd be caught, and in more trouble than ever, and McFinn would be on a rampage with no one to oppose him. I blinked sweat out of my eyes and knelt down as my blood pattered to the sidewalk. Little curls of steam came up where it hit the cold concrete. I took a breath and drew in every bit of will I could summon, drew in the pain and my fear and sick frustration and shoved it all into a hard little ball of energy. "Ventas veloce," I murmured. "Ubrium, ubrium." I repeated the words in a breathless little chant, curling my fingers in towards my palm as I did. The curls of steam from my blood began to thicken and gather into dense tendrils of mist and fog. Back along our trail, where more of my blood had spilled, more fog arose. For a few seconds it was nothing, just a low and slithering movement along the ground, and then it erupted forth, billows of fog rising to cover the ground as the energy rushed out of me, covering Tara from my sight and causing shouts of confusion and consternation to come from the law officials pursuing us. I dropped to my side, overwhelmed by pain and fatigue. There was a whisper of sound, a creak of wrought metal, and then a light thump as Tara West landed beside me, invisible in the fog, though she was only a few feet away. She moved toward me, and then I saw her expression, her eyes wide with wonder, the first emotion I had seen on her face. "Wizard," she whispered. "Don't wear it out," I mumbled. And then everything went black.